Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So I really think that's how it's all going to play out then, if it goes the way I think.
Wow, that was really, I've got to tell you, the last 5 minutes, that is the best analysis I've ever heard.
Thanks.
Wow.
I mean, that was in depth, right down to the Firestones.
Unbelievable. Wow, that was good. And you know the best part about it?
What's that?
You didn't torture the audience with it.
No. I know down in Hanover there's one guy that would have listened closely.
Okay, so you're big in Hanover. Okay.
I'll take what I can
I
get.
Got it. Wow. You know, there was a part during that I actually left, came back, and you were still going. I thought that was terrific.
Well, you know, I like to fill in the gaps, you know.
Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And it's called the beverage supermarket for a reason. Well, you hit the 4th of July weekend, and this is a natural 4th of July weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You need to stock up, and I mean stock up. In fact, I need to make a run to get over there to make sure I'm ready for the weekend as well. Now, I do have to do some work this weekend. I mean, I do have 3 ball games to do. I've got one on TV tomorrow I'm doing. But it doesn't take up that much time. I'm looking forward. We'll have a best of show tomorrow. But we need to go to Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Best in microbrews, imports, domestics. Soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, a pickle bar. Now, you know how I feel about the barrel pickles. They cannot keep enough of the barrel pickles in stock for me. Can't. Just can't do it. Can't have enough for this guy. I mean, I love the barrel pickles. That's all at Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Meanwhile, the Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones, Kevin Herr, the dynamic duo, at least in our own minds, back together again.
I am the Robin to your Batman.
I feel like I need a shower after hearing that. All right.
Wow. You've been in New York for what? 3 days, and all of a sudden there's an attitude now. I thought that's on the eastern side of New York State, not the western side.
Well, I've just watched 8 people try to take a tarp off the field and can't do it. That's just not, it's not, I'm not seeing any progress here. Okay.
Well, we're getting all those.
No. I need this game to start at 7:05. I need this thing over by 9:30 tonight. Okay, it's the third and final game of the series. I am driving overnight in the wilderness. Okay.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Going through wine country.
Oh,
listen, we do have to pass along severe thunderstorm watches or warnings rather throughout the listening area right now. The storms are in the area, so if you're traveling, please keep that in mind. Due to the weather, the Pine Nutter Days car show in Northumberland is canceled. Entertainment will be Memory Lane instead of the 60s Boys. So a change in the entertainment as well at Pine Nutter Days in Northumberland due to the weather, and the car show has been canceled. That catches you up on everything that's weather-related right now, besides about a 20-degree temperature change, Steve.
Exactly. That is exactly.
And that 20-degree temperature change happened in the last few minutes. Ah, there you are. We lost you for a second. Now you're back.
Yeah. Look at you. I always love that. I feel like we caught a break there for 5 seconds.
I'm like, all of a sudden, it's my show. Oh, darn, he's back.
Yeah, here, let me explain this little expression to you. Coup d'etat. Etu brute? All right. Well, yeah, it's going to be, what, 52, 53 tomorrow night for a low. Some people are going to have to, they go to the fireworks in State College, that big display at Beaver Stadium, about 60,000 to 80,000 people will be there. They're talking about jackets and maybe a sweatshirt.
No, tomorrow. I don't know. I don't think it would be that cold for me. It has to be a lot colder for a jacket and a sweatshirt. Like right now it's 76. The low tonight, AccuWeather says 62. And then tomorrow, 77 and a low of 51. Now, it has to be in the 40s before I start breaking out the jacket.
Okay, what if it's 52 and you're chilly?
I wear long sleeves, maybe. Or have a nice blanket.
I'm just checking. Because I mean, you have such standard statements.
Very specific, It's like
there's no wiggle room. It's got to be 48 degrees before I consider putting a jacket on.
It's like I always say, when the temperature breaches 70, the pants hems breach the knees, and I start to bring out the shorts then.
Okay, admittedly, that was a little too graphic for me and way too graphic for the audience. All right.
That needs to be after 10 o'clock. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying I wouldn't even let you say that at 2 in the morning. Sean Carey's a huge soccer fan, right?
Yes, he is. Big Premier League fan. Chelsea's his team, I believe.
Right. That's fine. All right. Now, you heard when I was on with Tim Owen, Ryan Snyder's a huge soccer fan.
Yes.
And Ryan is he is really the recruiting guru right now at Bluewood Illustrated. He is connected, gets it done, great job. He's a huge soccer fan. He says he will debate me about the progress of U.S. soccer. I think what we've had over the last 2 weeks is a euphoria in beating Ghana, a euphoria in how well they played against Portugal, but then a deflation the second that Portugal won it late, total domination by Germany, essentially total domination by Belgium, and that United States soccer, in my opinion, is no further along than it was in 2, 6, or 10. They're in the same spot treading water. Getting out of the group was a major accomplishment, and I said that before the cup began. They get out of the group, it's a major accomplishment. Whatever happens after that is gravy. And that indeed did happen. But when you start analyzing the last 211 minutes, in the last 211 minutes, they gave up a goal that they never should have given up to Portugal. They got absolutely field-tilted by Germany. And they got absolutely field-tilted by Belgium, and Tim Howard felt like a piñata. I mean, is that progress? Just because you're excited about it doesn't mean you made progress. I mean, again, 0-2-1. Okay? Your record says who you are. 0-2-1 in your last 3 matches. You only played 4. And I'm just doing just simple analysis. If the Steelers are 0-2-1 in their last 3, what's your reaction?
Panic.
Well, I forgot. If they were behind at the end of a quarter, you panic. So
panic.
Actually, you're out.
Yeah, that's panic as well, right?
I mean, they're behind at the quarter. I'm getting texts, Steve. Oh, my God, what are they doing? Oh, my God. It's like, slow down. They got 3 quarters left. They're not in the same class with the top 10 teams in the world yet. 18 is going to be interesting. Some of the young players they developed are certainly going to get their opportunity. But remember, as an example, Tim Howard probably won't be on the 18 team. So you're going to have a new goalie a new goalkeeper for the United States compared to one that's been outstanding. The other part, too, is there's a major misperception that most of these players play in MLS. Only 11 of them play in MLS.
No, most of them play in the Premier League, don't they?
Yeah, Premier League or the European League. One of the two.
Well, and that's why I said what I said yesterday about Howard making the comment of it's not up to him to promote U.S. soccer. I don't think he feels that way because U.S. soccer is kind of what he does part-time. His full-time thing is Premier League. So his full-time job is promoting Everton.
Look, I know what he's saying. By their play, they promote it. How about that?
Right, and I would agree with that as well.
By their play, they promote it. If they're not playing well, you can promote it all you want. Nothing's happening, all right, if you're not playing well. But Landon Donovan is correct in this way. He said, look, what did everyone say about the United States? Okay? Boy, they played hard. Right? Boy, they gave it. Did they give it their all? Right? Well, at some point, you have to win. What do you think? Belgium didn't give it its all? They just went out there half hearted and still dominated them? Germany didn't play hard? They played hard. Okay? Right?
No, absolutely.
I mean, at some point, you have to win. Okay? They played four matches. They won once.
You know, Steve, Greg Doyle from CBS Sports had a really good column today at CBSSports.com. He was talking about what we had talked about the last few days was the soccer debate in America. And soccer fans saying, you know, this is really a sport worth watching. And non-soccer fans going, no, there's not enough scoring. Listen, here's what I agree with what he said. We watched the World Cup as America. We watched the World Cup and we embraced the World Cup and may still do that. Does this mean that the MLS will be embraced? Does this mean that college soccer and more leagues all across the country will come up? No, it means we embraced what the rest of the world was going. We're going to go, okay, what's the deal with this? Okay, I understand why the world's interested in this, but that doesn't mean I'm going to watch the Premier League. So I think you kind of have to, this is going to be a process with the United States as far as the interest in U.S. soccer.
The World Cup's an event.
Right.
The fact that it is the World Cup.
But I think you make a great point. But you make a great point that a lot of these guys on the U.S. team are not going to be on the MLS team, so you're not going to see them again. The only way you see them is if you watch the Premier League for the most part.
Right. I mean, and they have obviously a following, but when I look at the United States, I mean, this is front of the jersey. World event every 4 years, it's the same thing that we get with the Olympic Games. Right? It's the same deal with the Olympic Games. You know, right now, outside of Kevin, who cares about what Michael Phelps is doing? Okay? Right now, how much do you care as an American sports fan what Michael Phelps is doing today?
Right this second, not as much as if it were an Olympic year. I'm interested that he's back, but when it becomes the Olympics, then even I'm going to be more interested in what Michael Phelps is doing. And I mean that seriously. I mean, we've joked about it many times, but I'm not overly interested in... I was interested in his first meet back. Now I'm not going to really care until the Olympics start what he's doing.
Right. Yeah, I think that's to me the big part of this.
Steve, I got Dave on the line who wants to talk a little bit about sports writers. So here's Dave from Sunbury.
Hi, Dave.
Steve.
How are you doing today, Steve?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Dave?
Well, I'm kind of perturbed at a certain sports writer and the Harrisburg Patriot.
Dave, I need you to turn your radio down real quick before we continue here. Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of echo, and it's throwing me off a little bit.
I was kind of upset with Dave Jones.
Did you see? I have not seen what Dave wrote today. I have no idea.
Well, the Penn State ought to get with the times as far as the field and the stadium. That Notre Dame's more in the times. I thought, you got to be kidding, buddy.
Is he talking about Notre Dame because they're going to field turf? And
yeah. And all I thought was, oh, wait a minute here. I seen that the crowd they had for their scrimmage. Let's just say there was plenty of seats to be had. And I'm not talking, you know, 25,000. I'm talking, you know, significant amount.
Well, I mean that. I mean, I don't. I didn't read the article, so let's start with that. Okay, I did not read the article. All right.
Yeah.
So I want to be fair. Now, if you're going to talk about the field at Beaver Stadium versus Notre Dame putting in field turf, I find that to be personally. And again, this has nothing to do with the article. You're just asking my opinion. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever been on the field at Beaver Stadium, the grass at Beaver Stadium and that field is unbelievable.
I've been it's
cut to just the right length. It's a fast track and the whole deal. Yeah. Now, if Beaver Stadium had a grass situation like Michigan had or Iowa had or Ohio State had, where they really, I mean, the grass was thick. They really couldn't quite get the right blend in there. They struggled. All three struggled with it, okay? Because it's not easy maintaining a grass field. They all made and the Patriots, their field was coming up in chunks as well at one point. When that happens, you do have to put in field turf. And I don't blame anybody for putting in field turf. I think for Ohio State, Michigan, and Iowa, New England with the Patriots, that was the absolute right thing to do to put in field turf. And field turf's really, really good. I really would struggle with them having to put in field turf at Beaver Stadium because that field, all the times I've been on it, it's the single best grass field I've ever seen. And I don't think a grass field versus a field turf field, as an example, makes any difference when it comes to...
No, but he said the whole thing.
To recruiting.
Yeah, but he said the whole stadium at Notre Dame is a whole lot better than... So you've got to be kidding.
Well, Notre Dame, to their credit, okay? Now, Beaver Stadium has a lot of real pluses to it. Notre Dame redid its stadium when they went from 59,075, Dave, up to 80,000. And when I did a game there in 2006 in the new press box and so forth, I was very impressed by what they did. Very impressed. What I have liked about what they've done at Beaver Stadium is the club level is outstanding, and that's really well done. That concourse area they put all the way around the stadium is extremely well done, and they did a great job with it at Beaver Stadium. And when you look at the luxury suites, they did a tremendous job. There is no question that when the television money is upped to the $44.5 million per school level by 2017, some of that money and also fundraising needs to be put into the west side of the stadium. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It doesn't matter where Steve Jones broadcasts the game from. I don't mind. I've got a great window to the world where I am. But you do need to take that side of it, which is rusting, which is struggling, and you need to put an independent press box and also luxury suite area around it that is first class, because that area, the press box area, is far from first class. It unfortunately, and I hate to say this, of the 12 schools that were in the Big Ten. I can't judge Maryland or Rutgers. I haven't been to Byrd Stadium, and I haven't been to Byrd Stadium in 20 years, and I have never been to High Point Solutions Stadium ever, never. Okay, but of the 12 existing schools in the Big Ten, Penn State's press box side is the worst in the conference.
Okay.
Okay. And believe me, I don't say that lightly, Dave. I mean, it's like, I mean, that's where I work. I mean, and I'm not saying I need to have this. I'm not saying I need to have this pristine, awesome, incredible environment. I don't. Everybody knows. I've always said it. You know, I could care less as long as I've got a great window to the field. I don't really care. Now, there is one thing I do care about in the box that's in our booth that I care about a lot. They need, and I have complained about this openly to several people. They need, and it doesn't, and the cost is like $50. They need to replace the ceiling tiles in our booth. Why? Because Jack and I don't know what's up there. We think there's asbestos up there.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and these things are crooked and bent and the whole thing. It's like, come on, take a couple minutes and put some pride into the thing. It really has started to irritate the two of us because we've asked. And I'm talking, Dave, we've asked for 2 years now. And it's not an expensive solution. We did not tell them to redo the box. All we did was ask them to replace six ceiling tiles. Six.
Well, and it's probably standard size, right?
Yeah, they just cut to standard size, whatever. It's no big deal.
Yeah,
but I'm
no
saying
big deal.
They need, I mean, I'm not going to, I mean, can I do it? Yeah, I can do it. Should I do it? Absolutely not. That's why they have OPP.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
their job to do
that
it.
For.
You know, I mean, that's, you know. Yeah. So when I look at Beaver Stadium, okay, luxury suites, awesome. Concourse level, great job. Okay? Club seats, fabulous job. New locker room, the whole thing that they have down there with the media room, connected to the museum, they did a great job with that. Press box side, it's the worst in the conference.
Okay, well, I'll hang up and continue your great job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Dave. I mean, I'm just trying to give an honest answer. I mean, I'm saying when they get the money, because they don't have the money right now. We all know they don't have the money. It's not there. I get it. They have the money for ceiling tiles. I've got the money for ceiling tiles. But why should I have to pay for it? To be frank with you. I mean, you see what I'm saying.
Absolutely. I think another interesting part of that article, too, was discussing the uniforms, and we can get into that maybe a little bit in the next half hour, Steve, because there were some interesting... I mean, you look at Notre Dame going to the Shamrock uniforms. That was way out of character for Notre Dame.
Right. Be good.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You worship the outdoors?
I do stuff in the outdoors. I don't know if I worship the outdoors, but I like it. I like being outdoors. Sounded kind of
why
sounded kind of weird out of context,
myself,
though, didn't it?
Your coworkers, me. I mean, we all love the fact that when you're outdoors.
When you're outdoors, yeah, thanks. Just walked right into that one, didn't I?
I got to give you credit. You know, it's some days it's just easier than others. I mean, it's just like a degree of easy. oh, man. All right. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And when it comes to microbrews, imports, domestics, no matter what. I finally found the Dave Jones article that Dave was referencing. Imports, domestics, microbrews, you know, soft drinks, snacks, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar. You know I love the barrel pickles. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the 4th of July weekend. My goodness, people, it's time to stock up. Okay? Time to stock up, all right? Got to do it. And we're, of course, in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Humble's Wharf. Don't forget, at 10 after 5 today, Kevin with a complete rundown on the Pocono 500 on this show.
Oh, good. Good. I'll reiterate what you might have missed earlier.
Yeah. Now, there are some of you out there that are astute and you're on and very sharp, and you're saying, I thought the show ended at 5. Absolutely, that's our secret. We won't tell him.
Tell me what?
Exactly. All right. I'm going to pull up Dave's article here in a moment.
Well,
take a look at that.
You know what Dave from Sunbury was talking about?
I think he's talking about.
Yeah,
it's the Under Armour deal with Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's part of it, and Notre Dame's renovations of around $400 million. And what Dave Jones was talking about was they're kind of making the stadium the hub, as he calls it, the hub for student life at the university. So they're, I guess they're putting in classrooms, exercise facilities. It's not just going to be a stadium. There's going to be a lot more to it, and it's going to be utilized a lot differently. And I think
I'll be frank with you. I understand the Homeland Security thing. I got it. Okay. All right. But when I went down to Florida for the NIT in 2009, which, by the way, was 8 years after 9/11, you know what was really neat? Is that Dick and I went over to shoot around, took a walk back through the pool area, which is connected to O'Connell, walked across the street, and the two of us went over the swamp. And it was open. It's open till 9 o'clock.
I think one time coming back from Michigan State, we stopped by the big house, and it was actually open, and we walked in and checked it out.
Sure.
That was before 9/11, if my memory serves, but maybe not.
Right. Let's see. Make the stadium a hub of student life at the university building, 3 monstrous additions on every side but the north, so you'll still be able to see Touchdown Jesus. It includes 760,000 classroom, exercise, dining hall, ballroom, and so forth. I mean, they're using, you know.
Well, and the other thing he's talking about, Steve, is maybe a change. You know, Notre Dame is going to Under Armour, which became
right.
kind of famous with what Maryland and Under Armour did with the Maryland flag being incorporated in their uniform and in their helmets, which personally I thought was hideous. Not that the Maryland flag's hideous, but on a uniform it was hideous. Now, a lot of people liked it. Okay, that's fine. That's personal taste. And he's alluding to not changing the Penn State uniform, but will Penn State evolve the way some of these teams have? I don't think to the extreme of Oregon, where they have a different uniform for every game, but will they have an alternate uniform? I personally looked at Notre Dame and the Shamrock uniforms. I thought they were really good. I don't think it changed the integrity of the color scheme of the uniform and the tradition. I think it had, to me, it had a kind of a modern and throwback look to it as well. So I liked it, And I could see maybe Penn State putting together down the road, and I know I'm gonna hear about this, but putting together a special uniform for like a homecoming game or a big primetime game instead of just the traditional uniform. I could see that, and I'd be fine with that as a fan.
I see what Dave's doing. Dave talks about, hey, look, when it, you know, that he's a classicist by nature. So, I mean, he just was telling you what's going on in the whole thing. And he says, I think you should know who you are and adhere to a trademark look and be proud of it. Okay? He doesn't really talk. I mean, the artificial turf part's just mentioned in the article, so it's not really comparing anything to what Penn State does. The uniform thing is a different topic altogether. And here's where it's a different topic, guys. I think it's really important for schools to have a signature look that is their uniform, home and away. But I also think once a year, it is okay to put on an alternate jersey. And the reason why I say that's okay to do that is that I think in today's culture, it helps you recruit. Fans objected to names being put in the back of the jerseys. But guess who wanted the names on the back of the jerseys? The players. I mean, it doesn't help me in my job. I've had people come up to me and says, well, that really helps you. Okay, you want to come up here for a couple of minutes and tell me exactly how much it helps me?
I can barely see the numbers. I can barely see the numbers from where you're at.
I mean, come on. You can't read that where we are. We're at the top of the stadium, okay? And we have a perfect vantage point, but you can't read that in the back of the jersey, okay? But guess who really, really wanted the names on the back of the jerseys? The players. Now, you're going to sit there and argue with the players about the fact that they like it? And guess who loves alternate jerseys today?
Oh, the players. Absolutely the players.
The players love alternate jerseys. Now, would I do what Oregon does? No. A new jersey every game? Never. Never. Would I adhere to a tradition in 11 out of 13 games? I include a bowl game. Would I adhere to tradition in 11 out of 13 games? Yeah. Would I pick one game where, hey, let's break out and have a little fun here? Yes. Now, Penn State fans may say, oh my goodness, Steve Jones has gone off the deep end. He's the traditionalist of all traditionalists. He's one of the last from the Joe Paterno era, and now he's going against Joe's wishes. Well, I have to be my own man too, don't I? At some point, Joe and I agreed on 90 to 95% of things. Okay? But at the same time, there are also certain things where I am now looking at things in a 2014 light. All right? Penn State uniforms. I'm talking traditional home and away uniforms for 12 out of your 13 games. 12 out of 13. And I was for the names going on the jerseys because the players wanted it. And it's important that the players get some things in life out of this thing that they want. And their families wanted it. They want to see their family name out there. That's fine. In fact, I find it frustrating watching a game like USC as an example, where there are no names in the back, and you're like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, not, Lee is 9, right?
God forbid you have one. You have the same number on different sides, or you know, on the different sides of the ball, offense and defense. That makes it worse yet.
I mean, fans didn't like it because of the tradition of it, and I agree. You know, Joe didn't want to put the individual ahead of the team. All right, but at the same time, I have no problem with it. It's 2014 now. It's 2014. The NFL went to it in 1970 after the AFL did it for 10 seasons. Right, 1970 was 44 years ago. It's okay. Okay, alternate jerseys help recruit. The players like it. One out of 13 games, let's have some fun. That's me. I'm just saying, it's. I know a lot of Penn State fans are going to absolutely disagree with me on this. Okay? I get more questions about the uniform than anything else. Is that, do you care about the football team at all? I mean,
well, and let's not get crazy Steve, because
let's talk about the scheme here.
you're not talking about a uniform that brings back the pink color that Penn State eliminated decades ago. You're talking about an alternate uniform that may blend in white and blue or something along that doesn't change the color scheme but is different.
Right, just a different look. And look, it's not like Joe didn't change over the years, all right? Let's examine Penn State over the years. Penn State had actually a different color blue jersey in the late 60s into the early 70s. Okay, they didn't go to the darker blue jerseys until like 72 or 73. They had numbers on the helmets, all right, through the, 74 season? Okay, they had shirts that had the white stripe on the home, on the collar and on the sleeves, and had the blue stripe on the road uniforms on the collar and the sleeves. And then they took those out. They've had to put on over the years. I can't stand the Nike swoosh. Okay, here's one for you. Who paid for them?
That's an excellent point. You know, Steve,
okay?
Steve, you
Penn
talk
State
about...
Penn State does not pay for the jersey. Penn State doesn't pay for the jerseys. Nike does, part of the deal. Okay? I don't care if the swoosh is there.
You talk about the name on the back of the jersey, and I can talk about this from the high school level. There is nothing better for a high school player to be able to keep that jersey for his entire season, 4 years, or however long he plays, and be able to keep that afterwards as a remembrance of his playing days at that high school, because his name's on the back of the jersey with his school name on the front, or however you want to look at it. But you get what I'm talking about, though. In Penn State's case, the school name's not there, but you understand what I mean. I was a part of this, and here's right. I can show you this.
Well, people objected to the Big Ten logo, all right, and where it's placed. It's a requirement.
How about the Rose Bowl? Should you not put the rose on it?
I mean, you know, people objected to bowl patches. You get fined if you don't put the bowl patch on. Right? I mean, look, it's okay to roll with the times. It's all right. And I'm talking about the exact uniform they have now for 6 out of 7 home games. And if it happens to be a bowl game where you're the team that gets the home jersey, fine. You know, now you're going to wear them in terms of 7 out of 8. And you're going to wear the whites on the road no matter what. Right? But one home game a year, I don't care if it's homecoming or whatever game you pick, let loose. Try it, you know, a little bit different. Have some fun. Sell it in the gift shop. I don't care. You know, do something classy. Have a contest. Let the students design a game uniform. Make it fun. You know, but again, it's something that the players like. They enjoy it. That's why schools are doing it. They're doing it because in recruiting they like it. It's a modern approach. It's a 2014 approach. There's nothing wrong to it. And when I'm talking about you play 13, or if you're in the Big Ten Championship game, 14 games, you're talking about 1 out of 14? I'm not going to eject a 1 out of 14 as long as it's classy and fun. Right? As long as it's classy and fun, it doesn't bother me in the least. The names didn't bother me in the least. I didn't feel like, oh my goodness, you know, they're disrespecting Joe. It's, you know, I mean, as long as you can spell Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, his name makes it on the back. I mean, names are on the back of jerseys everywhere in sports now, and it makes it easier. First of all, the players love it, but it's easier for the fans to identify. Even in the New York Penn League, the State College Spikes and the Tri-City Valley Cats are the only two teams in this league that have names on the backs. And the look is just completely different, and it looks classy, and it looks like it's an upgrade. All right? I mean, I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it at all. You know, it's... times do change. And it's okay if you change with the times and you do it in a classy way that still fits your image. And I think you can have an alternate jersey once a year that is different but fits your image. That's only my opinion. You may disagree with me across the board. But I see nothing wrong with that, especially if it's appealing to recruits and appealing to their families. You know, because in the end, one of the big reasons you go to Beaver Stadium is talent. And if that helps bring talent, I'm all for it. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin's moonwalking to this as fireworks fly overhead. It really is.
It's something special.
Something that makes the masses turn. That makes the masses turn away.
It's something all right. Special.
Yeah. It's something, all right. Well, I hope everybody has a safe and enjoyable holiday weekend. We're going to pick up on this on Monday again because I've got a feeling that we're going to get a lot of reaction from the Penn State fan base about my sacrilege statements. I think when you play a bowl game, you should wear your traditional, and same thing with a championship game. You should wear your traditional uniform, whatever it happens to be. And I'm saying Penn State should wear their traditional home jersey for all but one game, whether road jersey, traditional one, every game when they're on the road. But pick one game and have a little bit of fun. Make it classy. Make it within what, you know, what your color scheme and specs happen to be, and have a little fun with it. I think the one thing, though, is the biggest mistake I see in alternate jerseys is the lack of readability of numbers, that the colors don't match up where it stands out or not. And it's just not from an announcer point of view. As a fan, you should be able to see the number and see exactly who it is.
I think the number should be a static size and never smaller.
Yeah, except for the Bears, I think that the NFL has a standard size on numbers. The Bears are pretty close with it. The Bears just have a different way of doing it. But that's it, my controversial statements on uniforms. And you know, I mean, when it comes to uniforms, you can be controversial. I hope all of you have an incredibly fun, safe 4th of July weekend. Kevin, you and your family, your beautiful family, have a beautiful, safe, happy 4th of July weekend. Enjoy every second of it. You earned it.
Safe trip back, my friend.
Yeah, go have a great time at Pocono. It's going to be a great race. I'm thrilled. Indy is back. We will talk to you Monday.